In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
I'm actually somewhat excited about preaching this morning. You see, normally at this point in time, we've already left for the PLC. The PLC, the Parish Life Conference, every year is right around the 4th of July. And so it's not uncommon for July 2nd for us to be wherever the PLC is being held that year. I realize this because we get to see my godson, who is named after John. Not John the Apostle, not John the Baptist, but instead St. John Maximovich, the wonder worker of Shanghai and San Francisco. And today is the day in which we commemorate. It's the date of the repose of St. John. And so, like I said, I'm normally not here. I normally don't get to preach about St. John. So I'm very pleased because it actually, not only am I here, but it also managed to fall on a Sunday. So I imagine a number of you have visited the relics of St. John. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. St. John's relics is at the church on Geary Street, the Rocourt Cathedral, the joy of all who sorrow. And he actually made sure that that's how it's referred to, because quite often people would refer to it as sorrowing, or wouldn't refer to it as the joy of all who sorrow, but he wanted to make sure that people recognized that the joy was part of the name of the church, that it was the joy of all who sorrow. So anyway, his relics are here in San Francisco, and if you haven't had an opportunity to go and venerate them, please take the opportunity. Perhaps we'll even do a pilgrimage with a number of us from the church to go up there. Well, St. John is one of the modern saints. He was born at the end of the 19th century and was first in Russia, and then when he was going to be consecrated as a bishop, there's this great story where he was fairly young, he was in his 30s still, and he was going to the consecration, and he ran into this woman on the bus on the way to speak to the bishops about what was happening. And he said to her, there's been a terrible mistake. Apparently they've mistaken me for some other archimandrite, John, who they want to consecrate a bishop. And he goes, so I'm going to clear up the mistake, you know, so that they will realize, oh, we didn't mean him, we meant someone else. And so he saw her the next day, and he goes, oh, the mistake is so much worse than I thought. They really did mean me. So he shows his great humility in this. He shows the fact that he didn't feel himself worthy to be a hierarch. He never sought it out. He just wanted to be a humble monk. And so his first posting was he was sent to Shanghai. And he was there for a number of years, but then the Christians all started getting driven out. And so he took the flock that he had gathered around him and he went to the Philippines. And they were there for just a short period of time, and then after that he went to Europe. He was there for a period of time, and then finally he ended up here in America. But there are a couple of things that are very noteworthy about St. John. The first is his strict, strict ascetic life. It's said that from the time of taking monastic vows, until the time of his death, he never again laid down in a bed. He would stay up most of the night praying, and the sleep that he got would either be sitting in a chair, or more often than not, he would prostrate himself, and when he was feeling tired, he would allow his head to touch the ground. He would sleep like that in his position of prayer. And it's one of those things where he didn't boast of this, he didn't show off about this, but it became, everywhere he went, people, you know, they kind of noticed it. People drew attention to it. Other people drew attention to his great asceticism. And so he was known for being very, very strict about that, and also relatively strict about the services. He was very serious that the services be served in a manner befitting of God, in a manner that would show glory to our God. But the other side of it, the other side of him that we see is this great love that he had, the great love for humanity. Everywhere he went, he founded orphanages. There, when he went to Shanghai, he noticed all the suffering children, so he founded an orphanage. Likewise, he wasn't in the Philippines very long, but when he came to America, he also founded an orphanage, and actually where he lived was at the orphanage. And that was one of his great loves, one of his great joy, was to be able to provide for the orphans of whatever city he resided in. And so we see that there are, in a sense, multiple sides to him. There's this side in which he is very, very strict with himself, but he's also very, very loving in terms of dealing with others and wanting to serve others. People found it hard to give him things. They would give him something, and he would immediately give it away. So they would notice that he didn't have a coat in the middle of winter, so they'd give him a coat, and then they would all of a sudden see a homeless person on the street wearing the coat that they just gave him. So he was extremely generous, extremely loving, and as I said, he was extremely strict, but he also recognized the importance of grace. There's another great story where a man who eventually became a priest, as a young boy, and one of his altar servers saw the strict asceticism of St. John and wanted to emulate it. So he stopped sleeping in his bed. He stopped eating anything except for a little bit of bread, because that's the other thing they said about St. John, is that he'd have a little bit of bread each night. He served the liturgy every single day. And so throughout Lent, the only thing he would eat would be a little bit of the consecrated bread, and he would take a little bit of water. And so this boy started imitating him. He started eating only bread and whatnot. And so his parents came to St. John and said, "Oh, we're concerned about our son." And so he said, "All right, well, send him to me." And the boy comes, and he comes and sits down, and St. John sends someone else off to go get something. And the guy comes back with a sausage, and it's the middle of Lent. And the boy was all distraught, and he's like, "Why are you asking me to break the fast? It's the middle of Lent." And St. John said to him, he said, "It's more important for you to listen to your parents, to do what your parents are asking you to do." In a sense, it's echoing the words of the scriptures. Do you not know that to obey is better than sacrifice? That while the boy was seeking to live that strict ascetic life, St. John said, while you're under your parents' roof, you know, do what they tell you. He said, you know, continue going to church, continue doing the things you do, but also to obey your parents. So he showed a strictness for himself, he showed a graciousness for others, and he showed a love for others. One of the things that was said about him was this. Someone was being interviewed. This is actually a great book. It's called Man of God, and all it is basically tales from people who encountered St. John. And this is what a parishioner from Paris said. He said, "Yo, Vladika John." Vladika is like Sayedna. It's just this term of endearment for the bishops, and that was what he was known as. He was known as Vladika John. He said, "Your Vladika John leaves a strange impression on people. Many are repelled by his external appearance." As I said, quite often he was in ragged clothes and whatnot. He often didn't wear shoes. And the interesting thing is the story is told that he didn't wear shoes because of ascetical reasons. Well, those who knew him, he didn't wear shoes because they would hurt his feet. He had a medical issue and they'd hurt his feet. So he said, "Many are repelled by his external appearance, but one thing is sure, he is a man of God, an ascetic, and a man of prayer." And that's what he's remembered for. He's remembered for all of these things. He's remembered for his ascetical feats. He's remembered for his great love of the services and his placing importance on the services. He's remembered for his love for the orphans and for feeding those who were hungry and for clothing those who were naked. But first and foremost, he was remembered as a man of God. And all of these things, his great love for the services, his love for the orphans and those who needed help, his strictness, they all came from the same place, and that was from his love of God. And when he would preach, he would talk about this. He would talk about how the important things are the love of God and the love of man. And it showed in his life, and it showed in what he was able to accomplish in his life, not just the things like building the cathedral. Actually, interestingly enough, both in Shanghai and in San Francisco, he went and they had cathedrals that were unfinished because of arguing, and he was able to finish both of those. But also in the many miracles he has wrought, both while he was here and since he has passed. He's known as St. John the Wonder Worker. But ultimately, with all of these things, he would want us to look to Christ. He would want us to look to God and not to focus on St. John, on Vladika John, but instead on his God whom he loved so much. To the glory of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.